Amen. Believer's baptism, a defining moment. Today we pause away from the book of Romans to talk about baptism. We celebrate Baptism Sunday, the last Sunday of August each year. Now, we can be baptized anytime during that, but this is a special focus because I know there are so many who want that relationship with Christ to be the fullest it can be, and this is it. They know Christ is Lord, they believe Him, but they've never taken that step of commitment. And today we just emphasize the reason why. The reason why. I remember, listen, I was 6 years old when I accepted Christ as Lord. I was sitting on the front row of Friendship Baptist Church. They had pews instead of chairs, and I sat right on the corner, and the pastor was standing there. And I always heard all my life, if you just take the first step, Christ will take the next. And I'm telling you, when I stepped out, I remember taking that first little step, and the next, I couldn't feel my foot. I honestly thought I was stepping up. Now, that's two steps. I wish I would have been in the back. So I'd have gone all the way up, you know. And listen, back then in the 70s, we kind of waited till we got a few up to baptize, a little country church, you know. So I actually was seven, just a couple of months later, seven when I was baptized. I remember that day. That water was cold. You don't forget things like that. But man, I just remember that I've completed the obedience to command that Christ wants me as His child to fulfill. Baptism. Listen, if you're here today, we're going to baptize in the second service. You hear this message and the Holy Spirit is just really moving you to be baptized. Listen, you go to a connection group class. If you're involved in one at home, it's like, I'm going to go get a donut, I'm going to have some coffee, I'm going to grab some clothes, I'm going back. Even if it's too far for you to get some clothes, we have some for you. Don't worry about it. Baptism. It's that statement of your faith that shows everybody else what Christ has done on the inside. It's a defining moment in your life. You can say you're a Christian, but if you never do what Christ has told us to do, are you really? Are you really? Have your Bibles, book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning in verse 36 through 41. Baptism is an act of faith and a powerful testimony to the believer's union with Christ. Do you remember your baptism? And what did it mean to you? Believer's baptism has always been the accepted practice of the new church. Always been the accepted practice of the new church. Believe Christ first in repentance of sin, and then we're baptized. A little background on this passage of Scripture. This is the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is fallen. There are many nations of people who are gathered for the Passover in Jerusalem, and they speak different languages, and the Holy Spirit has given the disciples the ability, these 120 who were in upper room, the ability to speak those languages of the people gathered in Jerusalem. Why? So that the church would go back with them and they would spread Jesus Christ wherever they are located. This day, Peter is up preaching. Now listen, he's picking the cotton. He's shucking the corn. He's preaching it down that Jesus is the only Savior. He is the only way to heaven. He is the fulfillment. He is the Messiah. He's the fulfillment of all the prophecy. And we pick up right there where Peter is preaching. He comes to this part in verse 37. And when the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Now listen, they're showing faith right there. They're showing faith that what has been said by Peter, the Holy Spirit has brought it straight to their soul, and they know something's wrong in their own life. And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized." So there's your faith, there's your repentance. He says, follow through with baptism. every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Let's pray together. Father God, today, so often baptism is overlooked and pushed aside as a necessary part of our salvation, as a necessary part of our relationship with you. Oh, Father, today we emphasize baptism not to overshadow faith in you, but God, as a completion of the commitment a person makes. Oh, Father, I pray today that you would move and stir our hearts. Lord, maybe there's someone who's been coming here a long time, and Lord, their faith is in you. They love you. But Father, they're holding on to some things and they won't let go. Holy Spirit, I pray that you move them to follow through with their baptism today. God, maybe there's some Christians who have kind of forgotten the importance of their walk with you and their commitment publicly through baptism. Father, I pray that you stir their life today. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are four realities which compose the meaning of baptism I want to share with you today. Believer's baptism. The first reality of the meaning of baptism is that it is obedience to the command of Christ. That it is an obedience to command of Christ. Listen, when Jesus tells us to do something, we don't need to think about it later. We don't need to push it aside. We don't need to negotiate. We just need to do it. See, believer's baptism is a willful act of obedience to the command of Christ our Savior. See, in Mark 16, it's also over in Matthew, but Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, Jesus said to them, says, go into the world, to all the world, and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. Baptism is an act of obedience. Jesus was baptized. He commands all of his followers to do the same. Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist. He set the example for us. Not that we can go out and do our own thing, but if he set the example, and then before he ascended into heaven, he says to his disciples, hey guys, go into all nations, baptize, make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen, if it was that important for Jesus to say it right before he left, it's got to be important for us today. It has to be important. To only believe in Christ but refuse to be obedient is direct violation of his command. We say we love Jesus, but we don't want to follow through with what he says to do. That's something wrong in that picture, and it's not wrong with Jesus. It's wrong with us. See, many people choose to avoid baptism because they neglect to see the need for this step of obedience. And here's the thought about those who only believe without action. James 2, verse 18 and 19 says, James writes, this is, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You say that you believe there is one God. There's many people who say, you know, I believe in God. Listen, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Even the demons believe there's one God. Matter of fact, they know because they used to stand in his presence. Baptism follows Christ's command, and it holds believers to a standard of obedience. Listen, when you're baptized in those waters and everybody sees you, it marks you as a believer. It marks you as a Christian, as a follower of God. It's a public statement. Now everyone sees. There's some accountability for us then. There's some accountability. That wherever Kevin West goes, I represent Christ Jesus. Wherever you go, you represent Christ Jesus. Wherever you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're out playing, whether you're at a festival, wherever you are, you're representing Christ Jesus. There's accountability to that. Our faith must be reinforced by our actions. Believers' baptism is an action of faith. Baptism is an expression or a consequence of conversion. We're converted to Christ. What follows next? Baptism. Peter responds to those asking the question in verse 37. Says, brothers, what shall we do? They're showing that faith. Peter's response was repent and be baptized. We see in verse 38, Peter replied that repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Peter emphasized the command of Christ to be baptized. He associated the act of baptism as a confirmation to the act of repentance of sins. See, you can repent of your sin, and not everyone hears that. You can have this relationship with Christ. You can place your faith in Him, and nobody knows that. But Jesus always wanted us to be open disciples. There are no secret disciples in Christ's camp. There's no secret disciples on His team. Jesus Christ hung publicly, naked for you and for me, died for our sins. He expects us to be public with our faith. And it can begin with baptism. Peter specified in verse 38, every one of you are to be baptized. Everyone must be obedient to the willful expression of repentance and faith through believers' baptism. Peter did not allow baptism to be an option for those who profess faith. It was mandatory. It was mandatory. Hey, you profess Christ? Great, be baptized. Show others. Show others. So we see that baptism is about obedience. The second reality about believers' baptism is this. It follows Christ's example to fulfill all righteousness. Christ fulfilled all righteousness, and He set the example for us to do the same. See, Jesus fulfilled every aspect of righteousness. He was divine and in perfect standing with God. Jesus' baptism confirmed the ministry of John the Baptist and set the example for all believers to follow to fulfill the righteousness of their faith. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says this, for this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in His steps. Following His steps from the very beginning of His ministry when He was baptized. We should follow in His steps. Our whole life is about growing into the image of Christ, growing to be more like Him. We have no excuse for not fulfilling what Christ has given us to do. He ministered 3.5 years to leave us an example of how to be found holy in the presence of God. Baptism is a step in growing in holiness with God. John 13, verse 15, Jesus says, I have set you an example that you should do the same as I have done for you. Man, listen, I'm under strong conviction that if baptism were not very important, then Jesus would have not been baptized, nor would He have commanded all believers to be baptized. If it was not that important, there's someone going to say, oh, but you don't have to be baptized to be saved, but you have to be baptized to be obedient. You have to be baptized. It is necessary. Think about the idea of righteousness. Jesus concluded that he needed to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. If Jesus in His divine existence wanted His humanness and divinity to be found righteous without question from the saints and the sinners, Jesus had to fulfill all the things laid out before Him. And baptism was one of them. Jesus went to this extent to fulfill God's plan, then we need to also. See how when someone is baptized, sometimes, listen, we are called Baptist. We can take that for granted. Sometimes we see it so often, it's like, oh, great. No, but do you see the scriptural emphasis? Do you see the bite that even Jesus had placed on it? Do you see that baptism is that person's step? It was our step of obedience and following Christ. And it fulfills all righteousness that Jesus has set for us. Jesus' greatest desire was to please his Father. He wanted to fulfill everything that he can open this way of salvation and pave it clearly for all those who would follow him. Baptism fulfills a righteousness for Jesus to provide our salvation clear and confirmed, not for his sake, but for our own. The third reality of baptism that we need to grow from is this. It identifies believers with Christ. It simply identifies us. See, when we're saved, we're born again, the Holy Spirit, we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. In other words, when God sees us, we're sealed with his Spirit. That's what God sees, but how do we see that? We can't see the seal of the Holy Spirit. We may see the fruit of the Spirit living out in someone, but we identify a person as born again. We identify them by the waters of baptism as a brother or sister in Christ. This act of obedience of baptism, this is where a believer publicly identifies through immersion with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism is that defining moment of identification with Christ. It's nailing the stake in the ground that I am a follower of Christ. I am a child of God. And to show everyone that I'm a child of God, here it is. I'm baptized to follow him. The defining moment for those who claim to be in Christ is this symbolic union with our Savior. We see in Acts 2, verse 41, he says, those who accepted his message were baptized. How does anyone know that you accepted the message of Christ if there's not physical evidence of your acceptance? Why? Because that's the only way they connect with it. That's the only way they truly understand. That's the way that the world notices that you're set apart now. You're now a follower of Christ. You have been set apart to live as a Christian. You are now telling the world that I identify with Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection, what Jesus did on the cross, I claim it for my own. And Peter gave the invitation after his message about Jesus. Many accepted his message. Can you imagine him, street preacher that day, probably getting up on something as high as he could so his voice would carry as far and people could see him. And listen, he was laying it down. He was stomping, snorting, and spitting all the time, just preaching Jesus. That's why the front rows are almost empty. And nobody sits within these first four except my precious wife. Because stomp, snort, spit, and sweat fly. That's all I can figure. See, the repentance, people's repentance and their faith converted them, regenerated them by the Holy Spirit, but their baptism brought clarity to their identification. Baptism identifies believers with the death of Christ. We see in Romans 6, 5, it says, since we have been united with him, in his death, we also be raised with him in his life. Baptism by immersion is symbolic of the death of Christ. Symbolic, when you think about us going underwater and this being immersed in the water stands for cleansing, being laid to rest with the death of Christ, identifying with the death of Jesus Christ that washed away your sins, that covered, that cleansed you and washed everything away and covered your whole soul with his blood. That's what we identify with. We claim the death of Christ for our sins as our own death. Jesus paid the price for our sins, a price that we could not pay. How many times have we heard that but not have digested that into our mind, into the very core of our being yet? That if Jesus had not died for you and for me, that we would still be held accountable on the day of judgment for our sins. And the thing that Jesus would tell us, because he's our judge, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Depart from me. But God, I did all these good things. I was good to people. I was a good person. I never knew you. You never identified with me. Jesus was the only one who was acceptable to God for the payment of sin. In baptism, we're united with Christ in his death. Baptism also identifies us believers with the burial of Christ. Not only the death on the cross, but also his burial. We see in Romans 6:4, it says, when we were baptized, we died and were buried with Christ. We were baptized so that we would live a new life. As Christ is raised to life by the glory of God the Father. So that we not only identify with the burial of Christ, but we too die to our old self. That we accept what Christ done and we lay our old self into the grave and we don't live like we used to live anymore. And there's a lot of Christians need to understand that. That we're not to come in church, do some kind of religious thing. We say a little prayer, we get wet and go back out there and live like we did before. No, our lives must reflect Christ. Because it's Christ who lives through us now. It's Christ who lives in us and strengthens us so that we can fulfill the job, the task, the purpose that he created us. Our baptism takes on the symbol of Jesus' burial. The image of sinful nature that once lived is now buried with Christ through baptism. And the third aspect of this identification is this, that the resurrection of Christ. The latter part of verse 4 says this in Romans 6, is, and just as Christ is raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So we identify with the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, but also the resurrection of Christ. So when we're baptized, we're identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of our Savior. We're claiming what he did on Calvary's cross, what he did in the grave, and the resurrection of his grave. We claim all that for ourselves. We claim the victory that Jesus has for ourselves. We claim the payment of our sin that he brought for ourselves. Baptism gives us the symbolism of the resurrection of Christ. We claim that. Wouldn't you just like to claim things for your own? Name it and claim it is what people say. Listen, the only thing that we can name and claim in this life is Jesus Christ. Name him as your Savior and claim him and the things he's done. Jesus was resurrected from the dead. So will everyone else who is saved will be transformed in a twinkling of an eye and will rise from the dead. Oh, you see, we're learning on Wednesday nights. We just started on the whole understanding of how we live our life for Christ and how we're changed and transformed in this life. But also, because when we die, our souls will be transformed. But when Jesus comes back, our bodies will be transformed to be just like he is. Just like he is. We're baptized. We identify with the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And oh goodness, we identify with his coming back and changing us in a twinkling of an eye to be just like him. Baptism identifies Jesus' resurrection and our future resurrection. The fourth reality of baptism is this, that our association with Christ's body or the church. Baptism identifies us with the church. Baptism, as believers' baptism, identifies and associates those who have trusted Jesus as our Savior. So you really cannot say, identify with the Church of Jesus Christ if we have not been baptized. And I want to clarify something on this. I know there are many who are baptized as an infant. That's not believer's baptism. What parents or godparents or grandparents have done for that child is their statement of faith, saying, listen, I'm committing to God to raise this child to know about Christ and the church, whichever particular church. There are several who baptize infants. But it's not that child's freedom of choice. It's not that child's will. It's not that child's decision. That's someone else's decision. At some point, that child still has to make a decision for Christ as it's growing up. And when it makes that decision for Christ as it's growing up, that's believer's baptism that follows. That's not believer's baptism being baptized as an infant. That's not. That's not a bad thing that parents are doing to say that they're raising their child to know Christ and to understand the teachings of their particular church, their denomination. But believers' baptism that's taught all in the New Testament is when a person accepts Christ, they follow through with baptism all through the New Testament church. There's no account of a person accepting Christ as an infant. You can't even get them to go use the bathroom on the toilet yet. How can they make a decision for Christ for eternity? You can't even get their days and nights straight. They can't make a decision for Christ. Only when they know and they've heard the gospel, just like Peter preached right here, they've heard it. Brothers, what shall we do? They're showing faith. Only a person who can show faith in Jesus Christ are the ones who are baptized. That's believer's baptism. It identifies you with the church. Verse 41, those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. See, in this early church account, a defining moment of church membership came with the baptism of the new converts. Baptism's unifying act that bonds the church of Jesus Christ together. We're bonded together regardless of denomination, regardless of what people, regardless of what country we're in. We're the church. We're the church, baptized by one Spirit in whatever water is available through faith in Jesus Christ. See, by believer's baptism, we claim to the public that we are followers of Christ and that we are members of Christ's church. No, baptism doesn't save anyone, but is mandatory for those who are saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13 says this. It says, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into the body. Question comes to us today. Are you a part of the church? Are you a part of the body of Christ? Now, some people would think, well, am I a member of First Baptist Church of Ville Platte? Listen, your name on the roll of First Baptist Church of Ville Platte doesn't get you to heaven. Only if your name is written down in glory, only if Christ has written your name down in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's salvation. Listen, when you are saved, you are born again, you follow with baptism. Listen, you're baptized here at this church. Yes, we enroll you at this church, and we can move you to any other church you want to. That's fine. But that says that this is the place that I want to grow. This is the place I want to be discipled. This is the place where I'm learning. This is the place that I've made connections with some friends. This is the place I want to be planted to grow for as long as God wants me to be here. But that's secondary compared to joining the church, the worldwide body of Christ, for all time, through all ages. That's the church. From the time of Jesus, even into the present, and everything in between, and everything in the future. When you say yes to Jesus and you follow through with baptism, you're part of the body of Christ. New Testament mode and meaning of baptism is for those, who have repented of their sin, invited Jesus into their life, and become obedient as a disciple of Christ. Baptism marks your belief as a moment in time when you identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Salvation in baptism is a decision. Listen, a decision that only you can make and no one else. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize, you know, I've been coming to church here for a while and I realize that I have never taken that step of obedience to baptism. Listen, second service, we've removed all of the excuses. We have shorts, we have t-shirts, we have undergarments, we have towels. Yes, they're brand new undergarments, fresh out of the pack. Just in case anybody had that question. Men's and, you know, men and ladies, so they're taken care of. Ms. Valley does a great job on that. We've removed all the excuses. So today, if it was your day to be called and your life ended, and you know that you needed to be baptized in obedience to command of Christ, what would you tell Jesus if you weren't? Well, I just never had the opportunity. You know, I was a little nervous. I was a little scared. Think Jesus was a little nervous about going to the cross for you? Yeah. Did he plead and beg for not to go? Yeah, God, he wanted God to find another way, but he went through with it anyway. We're going to be nervous. Doesn't matter what age you are. It's okay to be a little nervous. It's okay to have a little acid in your stomach. That's fine. But you're doing this to mark your stake in the gift of salvation that God has for you. Christian, maybe today has been a good reminder for you. Maybe today has been a good reminder that, you know what, I have not been living up in public. I have not been living up to my commitment to Christ. I'm learning something. Even as a pastor, almost 50 years old, I'm learning something. You cannot work your way to be so good to be a better Christian. You can't try hard enough. How many times have we prayed and just said, Lord, you know, please forgive me for doing, and we name what it is, I'll try harder. And what we've done is we've taken it away from God and put it back on ourselves. And God says this in his word, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. So it's not about in us trying harder. It's not about in us grabbing more willpower to overcome something. It's really about understanding that I'm powerless and I can't do it. I can't do it on my own. It's really just being honest with God. I said, God, I want to live for you out there. I want to show this world that you are Lord. And I've been trying to do it my way for too long. God, would you please forgive me? I submit myself to you today, God, for you to be Lord of my life and not me. It's amazing how freeing that is, Christian. When you quit trying to be so good so the world will see Jesus through you and just be you and let God shine through you. Submission to overcome those things that have been haunting us, those things that have been stirring us, is just opening ourselves up and say, God, I want to be different, but I can't do it. I give it to you, and would you just take over? And don't try to stand up to the challenge when it comes again of a temptation. Nope. Realize, just like Joseph did, I can't do it, and I'm walking away. That's how we live a victorious Christian life, is to let God go do the battle for us and for us just to walk the walk that he's called us to walk. What about it today? Christian, are you living the life that God has called you to live? quit trying so hard. Submit yourself to God's control. You are really powerless. And you'll keep finding that out every day as long as you try to lead the way. What about it? Person that you've never accepted Christ today. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. And today is the day that you really know this is a day that your salvation is etched in eternity. You give your life to Christ. We'll have some folks here. Michaela will be here a few minutes. Sarah will be here for a few minutes. Listen, if you want to, Jesse may be here for a few minutes, I don't know. But listen, if you want to come and you just want to pray with them, Ashley's here, if you want to pray with them, say, I want to give my life to Christ today. And they'll pray with you and you accept Christ. And we'll have baptism second service. Run over there, get a donut, and bring me one back. And listen, we'll have a great time celebrating with you what God is doing in your life. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you for being so good to us. And Lord, we don't understand all the things that you're trying to do. God, today it's just for Christians to submit themselves to you completely, understanding that we are marked for eternity by the Holy Spirit. And God, we are marked in front of people by our baptism. And Father, that others hold us to accountable for on a whole different level. Father, let us live our life pleasing to you. And Father, I pray today for those who may not know you. Lord, that this would be the day that they accept you as Savior. Lord, I pray that they would just open themselves up to you. And Lord, that they would just, Lord, freely give themselves over. God, maybe there's someone who's already committed their life to you. And God, they have neglected baptism. God, maybe may they not neglect that anymore. And God, that they stick around because today is our baptism day. They go down the road for a donut. God, they may go home, grab some other clothes, and come right back. Today is the day they need.